right, I guess it's official. We need to rename this show the Bennett Brothers Podcast for the Baby Yoda Show because he's just so cute. No, it is the Bennett Brothers Podcast for the Star Wars series, The Mandalorian, episode
six.
I was in the middle. Episode six, The Gunslinger. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us yet again for Chapter 5, The Gunslinger.
What?
Wait. Chapter 5, The Gunslinger.
That was
podcast.
Way off!
You actually were right, and then you were off, and should have went with your gut instinct, Jerry. Gut instinct says you were right. You rethought it. You were wrong.
The gut instinct said that this should have been a podcast for Game of Thrones. That's what we should have done. Missed that one. Anyways.
So yeah, we're going to talk about the latest episode of the Mandalorian TV show. If you haven't listened to us before, go back and listen to our first four episodes on the Mandalorian TV show, and then go back and listen to every other thing we've ever done. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter.
250 Inhumans, podcasts.
250? Is this 250 right here?
This is 251.
251.
And that's not counting the
minicast that you can get on patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast.
And I did put up a short one explaining why we're not putting up any for a moment. So, but we are going to put them up. I got guilted. Well, that brings us right into the Get Pierced segment.
No, I don't want to get pierced this time. That sounds
yeah,
awful.
Yeah, he basically was talking about how we haven't put up any in a while. So I said, well, I just did.
Man.
But he also said that he knew we'd do a Frozen 2 podcast. I guess that's a reference to the fact that I saw the movie last time.
Well, one of the things we always do at the end of the year for minicast is we rank our favorite superhero films throughout the year. And we'll do that again this year because there were some really great superhero movies that came out. And we will talk about that and see where we rank. So stay tuned for that.
He also said that he would be in on the Three Amigos podcast.
Ooh, yes. Yes, I'm in for that. I'm in. Cool. So if you want to join us in that Three Amigos conversation or any of these conversations, go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter @BennettBrosPod or send us an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. We already mentioned Patreon, so check that out. There's going to be new minicasts going up, and to get those, you know, you just need to donate, and that helps us out. But we're not going to spend too much time talking about that because we got things to talk about, Jerry. We got news to talk about. News, not in the sense of anything breaking, other than we do have The Runaways coming out December 13th, I believe.
Which we knew.
We knew, but they
They've
released
got some
the
new
poster
posters out. I'm putting up a couple every now and then when I see them online. They're kind of cool. I'm excited for that last season of the show. We talked about it,
yes.
And we're gonna podcast about it, like we said. The news that came out recently is that out of nowhere, the Wonder Woman 1984, or apparently the Wonder Woman, the sequel. This is the 1984 sequel for Wonder Woman came out. And what did you think of the trailer?
I loved it. We talked about this very briefly where we're watching another amazing comic book show called The Watchmen. Whew, that's some good stuff. We talked about this briefly though. I love the trailer. I think it's very interesting. I wish they would have thrown her little theme song in there, because that theme song is still the best theme song.
I actually loved that they were
I like the music they used. I just could have used that.
This trailer looked great.
I just did that sound, and I gave myself goosebumps, because that is one of the coolest pieces of music.
It is.
I will stand by
it. You know what's funny about it is watching this trailer taking place in 1984, and all these scenes where she's walking around in public, and there's all this red carpet kind of stuff. It's like, remember in Batman 5 Superman when they explain that, you know, she's been hidden for the last 90 to 100 years? Like, not in 1984. She's pretty much out in public doing her thing, so.
But yeah.
It's in that world, but they're kind of picking and choosing what they wanted to.
Oh, speaking of which, we didn't mention this. Speaking of that world, you had mentioned this to me about the Zack Snyder Batman v Superman cut, or Justice League cut.
The Justice League cut is coming, and even though they haven't officially announced it, I've, through my sources, this guy I know, they are putting out the cut.
Ed Pierce?
No. Oh, God, no. They're putting out a cut, and it will be coming on the HBO Max streaming app in the second quarter of 2020. And it's...
What's the HBO Max streaming
app? It's going to be like 3 hours long. It's not 5 hours long. There was an assembly cut 5 hours long. And people are like, oh, my God, there's 5 hours. Like, that's an assembly cut. Those are always like 4 to 5 hours long or
you don't
longer.
You don't want that.
No. That's just every shot. But no, this is going to be... Will it be a better movie? Don't know. But it will definitely be... And also, it's going to be a movie that won't have an ending because he was making a 5-movie storyline and he only got to make 3.5. And this will
be his
fourth
one. Do you think they
messed
up with that? Should they have kept him?
They should. Somebody should have had a Kevin Feige control roll over there. They tried to go too fast. They tried to get to the Avengers without earning it the way Marvel did. And it came back and it bit them. They did have an interesting way of doing it. The whole idea about Batman creating a character that they were going to kill off in the second Justice League movie anyways, they were just thinking the wrong way on some of the stuff. They tried to get there fast. Zack Snyder is an incredible filmmaker. The cinematography is great. All that stuff is wonderful. But there are definite story problems with Batman 5, Superman,
but we'll
and
see
Justice
if
League.
Justice League is a better movie with a Zack
Snyder. I think it will be a better movie.
And to be honest, Batman v Superman, my biggest beef with that movie is Lex Luthor, I think that
that's a huge beef.
That is a huge beef. But other than that, movie, and people like the Martha
movie,
thing,
though,
but
too.
I thought the Martha thing was clever.
I never had a problem with the Martha thing.
Yeah,
either.
I thought it was clever.
I always felt that was something that people online jumped on, dude. Somebody said, yeah, sure. I'm going to say that too. It makes me like I'm clever. It's like it's not.
So that's coming out. And the final, not the final thing, but another trailer just dropped today. And we have not talked about this, the Ghostbusters trailer.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
I actually showed it to Debbie, didn't let her see what it was. And when it started revealing what it was, she got so excited. She's like, that looks like they're doing it with comedy, but seriously, and not just every joke is a joke. Therefore, none of them landed like the 2016 travesty that came out. Again, Ghostbusters 2 was not a great film, so it's not like...
It has nostalgia.
I know, but it's
me.
Not. I saw it a lot, and I've seen a lot. It's not a great film. First Ghostbusters is a great film, one of the funniest comedies of all time, in my opinion.
I think this movie,
looks great.
Yeah, it looks great. It hit that factor when you hear Venkman talking about fate and all that kind of stuff,
and then you hear
the voiceover.
It hit me.
I was like,
that siren is such a.
They have a gunner
sound.
Seat, and I was like, yes, that's fantastic.
They're clearly Egon's grandkids.
Because
it says Spengler.
Yes, I'm
there.
Pretty sure it's Egon. The people have analyzed the trailer. There's some like Easter egg stuff in there, like who they're researching, and like, is it a cave that they get all the materials from? Because the guy who was ahead of the cult that built a building to begin with.
Well,
it's gonna
it looks
be
like
on
the,
and...
one of the demon dogs that
oh,
lives
yeah.
on the car.
I'm hoping for a Rick Moranis cameo. That'd be great.
Well, he's already confirmed Annie Potts, Sigourney Weaver, and the three surviving Ghostbusters.
They did confirm them?
Yes.
Oh, I thought Bill Murray was still wishy-washy. I think there's a Slimer sequence in there. But you know what? Hey, that was one of those trailers where I got a little... I didn't get emotional, but I got a little goosebumpy on it.
Oh, when I tell you, when they do that siren, it's when there's certain sounds, certain music, certain shots, certain smells. I mean, there's things where you're like, oh, there it is. There's yep. the nostalgia part kicking, and that was it for me.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention, Jerry did not watch it. I did. The Resistance riot at Disney World opened up.
I've seen bits and pieces.
There is a wonderful moment in the video I was watching, though, because it's slightly spoilerish.
This
I don't
is
anyone,
Star Wars related.
Star Wars related. There's a moment where
don't spoil it.
Where
no.
They walk out and they're in a room, and the people that get in the room go crazy. They're like, oh my god! It hit that feeling we get when you watch like big rooms of people watch a trailer like the Star Wars trailers and they go nuts. I had that feeling watching that. I was like,
I just
got a little emotional.
I already know. I do know a lot, and so like I'm like staying away from every detail because I need to have. That sure. moment, even if I'm not there for another year, I need to go like, oh, I did not know we were going to do this. I need to have it. And it could wreck
this
everything.
I normally do that. I did it. I don't touch Harry Potter rides. I don't do it. But like, this was the one I was like, oh, I kind of want to see what Disney did because I don't know when I'm going to be able to go on this ride. It's like when I look at the rides that are in Tokyo or rides that are over
That's
in Shanghai. Like I'm like, I want to see those rides because I don't know when I'm going to see them if I'm ever going to get to
I
ride
agree.
Those rides. So. Any other news you want to mention? There was a Bond trailer. We didn't talk about it, but it was good stuff. Yeah. Well, we're in.
The other thing was I have watched the first episode of the 5-part crossover for Crisis of Infinite Earths.
Tell me about it, because I am not
watching
it.
Which was the Supergirl episode, and I watched it with my son, and we both had bailed on the show. But we've killed major hours of our lives watching these shows in general, and I have this season been fast-forwarding through the Arrow episodes. Because it's the final season, and I mean, really fast forwarding, and they're just, you know, all the stuff that doesn't work is still there, but this has the event feel to it, and it's kind of exciting for those moments. And then they have the regular episode parts. It's like, oh, they're terrible. They're terrible. This stuff. This would have been incredible 20 years ago when you settled for it. you settled for it and it was new. Even the first couple years of these shows, it was new. But now we live in a world where there's TV shows, or not even just the superhero shows, but like Watchmen, shows are so good. And now that Marvel is entering the television world, officially the Marvel Studios one, it's changing it so that I don't have to settle for this stuff.
You sat through Smallville forever.
Yeah, 10 seasons. So,
and like that's
and I started zipping through those. And
did
I
you watch
I,
like Lois zipping, and Clark too?
I mean by zipping, I mean I don't that wasn't videotape zipping, but you would the DVR you'd be getting through, yeah. Oh, Lois and Clark? No. I watched like the first season and a half of Lois and
season
Clark.
Season and a half.
It was
dedicated.
On for 5 seasons and it was back in the middle 90s.
Was it 5 seasons? Did it get 5?
4 seasons it was well, maybe it was 4 seasons.
I think it was 4.
But the first season, I think it was a 13 episode, whatever it was. Dude, I recorded them on VHS. I'm going to have these forever. And I had those tapes way longer than I should have. But no, it was terrible.
All right.
But anyways, and I just want to say about this episode, it opens up with multiple Earths. It's being very referential to the actual comic book, which I own. It's a wonderful book, the 12 issue. It's one of the greatest comic book series ever. It really is. And it starts out with multiple Earths, and the first thing you see is you see the Titans Earth from the DC Universe TV series Titans, which, although done by the same people, Greg Berlanti's production, at least right now, it's still okay. I'm liking it. It get better. It's much more adult. There's not so much jokiness, lots of cuss, lots of violence, death. Still not a perfect show, but this opens up with a couple. You see Hawk and you see Robin. They get wiped out. You go to another Earth.
I'm
sorry.
They get wiped out.
Well, it's just these are small cameos. They're going to get restored at the end because the show is still going on. But you see that Earth gets happened. They go to Earth 89, and you see a bat symbol in there in 1989.
Oh, nice.
And all of a sudden you hear the Danny Elfman theme, da-da-da-da, and there's a paper of Bruce Batman on there, and it's Knox. The guy who was the reporter in the original Batman 89.
Oh, Arliss? Oh, he played Arliss?
Yes, he's there.
Oh, really?
He does. This is the kind of cameos that
that's
I'm talking
kinda
about.
That's kind of cool.
Exactly. So then he's like, oh, you better hope you save him, big guy. Then they cut to Earth 66, and you start hearing, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And there's Burt Ward. And
nice.
Burt Ward is so big.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's enormous.
No.
He's enormous. And he's wearing this goofy shirt, so it doesn't help. It's not flattering in that respect, because it looks like that time period. And he's walking Ace the Bat Hound. No. And of course, he looks up, holy red in the sky, Batman, whatever he says. Again, his voice is fantastic. He sounds exactly like he always does. He didn't get an old man voice. And then they get into the episode, and they have, you know, all the heroes show up, and what's going to happen next will be interesting just seeing them. So I'm going to watch these 5 episodes just to see, like, oh, there's that. And that's...
Cool.
So I'm not doing it because I want to. I'm doing it for the podcast.
I can't wait to hear
Speaking of, there actually is a show after, an after show, where Kevin Smith, I haven't watched yet, but that's going to be a huge train wreck. Because he's like so excited, and he's going to be talking about it. And look at me, I'm skinny now. And he's doing this whole thing.
Is he
wearing
his trench coat and his hat backwards?
Yes, he is.
That's his look.
You got to go see Jay and Silent Bob Return, or whatever it's called. But so that is what I want to talk about.
Okay.
And now we're going to go back into the Star Wars universe and actually talk about Episode 5, The Mandalorian, The Gunslinger, and it is episode 5. Joel messed it up earlier.
Chapter 5.
Damn it! Joel, what'd you think of this episode?
So, first of all, The Gunslinger, which is also a reference to one of my favorite books of all time, Stephen King's Gunslinger.
It's amazing. Not a reference to it. It's the same name.
Same name, but it's close enough. We talked about this last week, about what we thought this was going to be an homage to. I don't think there was any overt homages like last week with Seven Samurai or Magnificent Seven. This one was... I can't think of anything that was. This was more of a... this episode was more about nostalgia. I mean, it was more about, you know, going back to things we knew.
Location-wise. What'd you think?
I thought this was the weakest episode so far. It was good. It was better the second time when I got over the hitting you on the head with, look at this, because there's a lot of that in this episode. And you didn't have to go back to Tatooine. You didn't. Tatooine made sense when in the Skywalker story, the whole Skywalker story, because it's like there's a nexus there that is point. It doesn't make any sense in The Mandalorian until they get to the point where maybe that's Baby Yoda and he has an affinity for Tatooine somewhere, somehow. It doesn't make any sense out of all the places in the galaxy why he goes to Tatooine. That being said, there was a lot of stuff I liked in it, and we'll talk about it. What'd you think?
I really enjoyed this episode. It was not the weakest. It's not the best, but it's not the weakest. I really liked it. I think that sometimes we talk about Tatooine, and that's why would we go back there, even though we go to Tatooine in four of the movies already at this point. So it's not like this is just that one nostalgia. I mean, like we're on that planet four times. In fact, I'm trying to think if we even go there even more than four times.
We go there more than four times. One, two,
three,
four. We see the planet at the end of the celebration of Return of the Jedi.
That's the same.
That's six.
All right, then that's fine. That's all right, so a five. Okay, I'll give you that one. That one's good. Here's the thing. If this had been the first episode, it would
We go back there for Return of the Jedi because Jabba's there.
Well, yeah, there's that.
There's that.
That major moment. I think if it had been the first... Well, I'm just going to shut up.
I'm glad you guys are here for this podcast and Jerry and Joel Forget Star Wars.
And Jerry's going to edit this all out. I feel that if it had been the first episode, this would have been like, oh, you're going to all the crutches and everything. Like, and they said, no, we're not going to do that till episode five. I feel that also... The reason people's like, why would you go back there? It's the if there's a bright center in the universe, it's the planet farthest from. That's Luke saying that, an 18-year-old kid. He's not the authority on that. And the fact that Jabba the Hutt, one of the most biggest huts in the whole system, has his base there, and he dealt with bounty hunters and stuff. I don't feel it's that far-fetched.
Sure.
Also, within the context of the story, I think what happens at the very end when we get to that is relevant why we're on Tatooine also.
Okay, we'll speculate
on that. I think that is.
Maybe.
But that's how I feel about it. I don't feel it was, you know, there are points when you go to certain things, like somebody else, who are we talking about? Like, oh, that would be the, why would you go to that's the only cantina there? It's like, well, that's the one where the bounty hunters at, you know, that's
well,
okay.
It's Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
And that's the only spaceport, or one of the
it's
only
Mos Espa.
Yeah, but it's one of the only spaceports, and he ends up going into that spaceport, and that's the cantina that's at that spaceport.
Yeah. See, I guess
again,
people got picky. And you know what? If we didn't go to anything, like, well, why can't you go back to Tatooine? It's like, that's fine. I'm waiting for them to go to the Black Spire Outpost, and people are going to complain, oh, that's just because of the Disney.
Go back to Coruscant. Like, go there, because that's always a fascinating place to be. It's a freaking planet. It's a
but
city.
It's no longer the center anymore.
Yeah, but there's stuff going on there.
They should go to... what is it, Hobbs Prime, whatever, I can't think of the name, but the one that gets blown up, spoiler.
Oh,
for,
Alderaan.
No, for Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
The new center, you know, because that's right, this time is supposed to be the new center of the galaxy and everything.
So, we'll talk, again, I don't mind them going there, but my first watch was definitely, I wasn't in the story, I was more looking around for Easter eggs. And it kind of took me out of it a little bit. The second watch was better because I actually got to watch the story this time. But we'll get into it a little bit more here.
That's interesting. They never took me out. They didn't take me out. I wasn't looking for them. I was acknowledging when they went. I went, ding, you know, check it off.
Yeah.
But it didn't take me out.
This episode was directed by Dave Filoni. He was also the writer on this episode.
He's also
I didn't mention this before, but he writes for the TV show Rebels. He writes for Clone Wars. He writes for Resistance. So he's written a lot.
He's the guy who executive produced all that. He's Dave Filoni the guy.
So
he directed the first episode of this series, too. I didn't know he did this one, though. That's good.
He did this one.
Basically, it's him and Favreau who are doing this, and Filoni is the guy. He's the guy who does all the animated stuff. We start with a dogfight.
Yeah. Against Riot Marr is the character's name. Who explodes. Interesting little fact here. He's wearing the same flight suit that the Resistance pilots are wearing in The Last Jedi. So that's 25 years ago when the Resistance might still be cobbling pieces together and stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So I thought that was a little cool.
I'm actually listening to the audio book of the Resistance that takes place right before Rise of the Skywalker, and it's fascinating how they're actually talking about how, because there's going to be a year gap between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, and this takes place in that time period. I'm only almost halfway through, maybe not even there, and it's talking about how they're having to build up from what they had, which was seven people, to wherever they're going to be in Rise of Skywalker, and it's really good. And they're also right now dealing with the fact that Poe Dameron, and like, hey man, you really messed up, lots of people died, why are we following you? And they're dealing with that right now, and he's dealing with it like, yeah, I should have let Hodo, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I mentioned that because you mentioned throwing together stuff. They're literally going to go to a planet to try to build a fleet now out of junk and stuff. So I think that's what that represents. But in the dogfight, we get that point where the bounty hunter that you talked about, he says, Riot Marr. And he says the same line where he goes, you know, I can bring you back, you know, cold or hot or cold, whatever. The Mandalorian says, that's my line.
Mm-hmm. And he blows him up.
And we get a call from Mos Eisley Tower. sending him to Bay 35. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you look at the outer door of the bay.
Oh, I was going to bring this up.
Okay, it comes up later. Well, I'll let you, we can bring it up.
Because there's a whole thing I got to get into with it.
Okay, because that's from the original, because because there is, in the Star Wars universe, there is no English, no numbers.
I love that you're, there was.
In the very first cut.
Yeah.
And then he changed them.
He changed them to, let me pull it up here because I have the exact, what it is. Keep talking though. I'll pull
I don't
it
even think
second.
I don't even think the version I have on Laserdisc has the English one. I have to look because, like, at the tractor beam control, I know when Obi-Wan was moving that you could see English on there. Thank you, nice. You can see, and I think, you know, they changed that. But those numbers, they represent the bay. They're hidden in there, so you see the 3 and the 5 in the door. There's a big image.
So the Empire,
I never noticed that as a kid.
The Empire used English in the writing all over the Death Star. The alien. There's an alien language known as Arabesh, and then Lucas had them change all the signage to the alien language for consistency. But he didn't change that because you can actually
see. Do they
see
have images online of the
of 94? Yeah. Or of the original English?
Yeah.
From, so, like, the tractor beam? They had the tractor beam. You can see it.
Okay, so they
side
do.
By
I have
side.
To double check the laser.
But there's a 94 in the Star Wars A New Hope where you can see it on the bay. Someone pointed that out on Reddit a couple weeks ago. And then to see it again, to see 35. Now, the numbers are
the
close.
The first time I saw it was, like, 97 during the special editions. So it was a while, but I remember, like, hey! There's the number on the wall. I never know. I was looking on the big screen. I hadn't seen it on the big screen since I was a kid, and I actually saw
it's
it at that,
that point.
Funny
that you brought that up. That's so
funny. Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. So he's supposed to go to Bay at 35, and we see him kind of coming into a cool landing there.
It's cool. The landing gear is working on all sorts of different levels. Like, it's working. It goes down at different times because the ship's obviously been pretty battered.
And he's locking the vehicle up and locking up the sleeping Baby Yoda. Just puts him in there. And I actually went, oh, good, lock it. Thank you. Keep him locked up. We see these pit droids come out, three of them,
droids.
Which we are from the prequels. So that's another ancient
hit the nose.
Yeah. Jesus. And they're very three. There's three of them again. So there's a little Three Stooges act. And we get our person who works there,
Pelimoto,
and he's played by Amy Sedaris, who's been in everything from something with Candy, some TV show she did.
Well, the big thing
I never liked
here,
the show.
I'm
going to
mention here she was in the movie Elf, which was directed by Jon Favreau.
Well, there you go.
He's nice done, but she's done a couple things with him actually. So,
yeah, she did a show on Comedy Central, something where she played this older woman going back to school. She talked with a weird fresh moment, and she was a former drug addict, something, and it's escaping me. But I
that
never
curly, that big curly hair. Is...
People are laughing about that because they're saying, "Wow, look at she's basically." Got Ripley's hairstyle from Alien, but then they said it was some other put down on it.
Sure.
But I liked her. I thought she was fine.
Yeah, she's fine. She's a character in this.
So he leaves her. He heads out onto a very familiar-looking street, which looked awesome. He comes around a corner, and we see the Stormtrooper helmets on pikes, which was an image we saw in the trailer. We finally get to see that.
Which is cool, which means that at some point there was probably a battle on Mos Eisley. Or a fight of some sort where
possibly.
They get these, unless all the Stormtroopers are like, and here, I'm going to put my helmet down.
Yeah, and then they just did that. Yeah, it could be any number of things. But I like the idea of a battle, too. I think that's cool. We cut back, and we see that she's gambling with the pit droids, and the baby wakes up.
Well,
and
they're gambling. They're playing Sabacc, which you see in the Solo movie.
No, that's a character on Star Trek.
Nice.
His name is Spock.
Terrible.
And yet you laughed.
I was trying to think of something fun to do with it, but I've got nothing. I was like I stubbed my toe. Spock stubs it. Sabacc. I got nothing.
I play poker with a guy. He's a huge Star Trek guy, and every time he loses, he says this word, and I'm not going to say it on here. I'll say it, but he says it like this. He loses the hand. He goes Spock, but with an F, and he says it just like, oh Spock. It makes me laugh every time. He loses a lot.
This is a lot. That's great.
10 more and I'm leaving.
He's just like yell a con every time.
Exactly. Oh, that would be even better. So we see the gambling. Baby wakes up. She falls, you know, picks up the baby. Adorable, adorable, adorable. And we go to the cantina.
Cantina.
Which we now see. So droids are welcome.
Yeah, we see him walk into the cantina. And outside before it was Yeah, the original edition where there's just a Dewback, like a statue.
It's a still image.
And then they made it a moving, they computer generated, and now there's a guy talking to a droid. The droid with the binocular kind of eyes in it. I believe it's also that droid. I remember that droid a lot from Star Tours, because they used that droid in Star Tours, like, as one of the droids on the outside. So, a little connection there. But then he walks into the cantina, and if you actually look on the door, the droid detectors are no longer there.
Yeah, well, that was always an assumption. People said
we assume that was a droid detector, but it's not there anymore.
Interesting. Yeah, it's become one since history. The bar is less populated. There's no music playing, and we're seeing a droid behind the bar, which is the same kind of droid that we saw setting up at Jabba's palace. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a feisty one. You'll be good on the master's sail barge. That droid, which was fine. It was cool. And also, if you look behind the bar, this is accurate from the first movie, New Hope, that there are these cylinders that are basically IG-88's head next to each other, nice. And what they are was they were actually either missile components or some sort of factory component that they basically, you know, when they were building it, they said, let's just use this image. They put it around the bars. It looks like drinking machines. And then when they got to the next movie, they said, hey, let's use one of those and make it a droid. And yet they still have it in the bar. I love it. It's like, nice. It's clearly the IG-88's head. So I thought that was cool.
Speaking of droids, we also get an R5. Red?
R5-D4, yes.
Let's go red. I wonder if that's the same one.
Probably not. It could be. We saw him on the Jawas episode, too. Remember I told you there was one there in the Jawas episode? That's the same one, on a different planet somehow. No, and then we find out that the Bounty Hunter Guild no longer operates on Tatooine, and we see a younger bounty hunter sitting there, and it looks like he's got like a rebel symbol on a coin. I don't know if that's a rebel symbol
or if it's
a sign of the New Republic, because that's what they've done. But he's holding that coin, and his name is Toro Calican.
Yes. So Toro, he's sitting over
in
Han's seat with his feet up like Han did. If you look on the wall, there is no blast mark.
I know. People talk about that.
It's a little on the nose. So I don't know if you know this, but the guy who plays Toro is Jake Knievel, who is the son of Bobby Knievel, who's in the Ant-Man movies. But Jerry and I love him because he's been in a lot of stuff. But we love him as Jip from Boardwalk Empire.
Everybody's got guns.
he's fantastic. So
third season.
Interesting that he. I don't know.
He's not Mr. Robot.
I don't. Oh, is he?
Yeah,
or Bobby? Said, yeah.
Yeah.
But Jake. Interesting. I got to be honest. I hated his acting in this. Hated the character. Hated his acting.
Very interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm going to tie into that at the very end.
And I know there's things he does, and I will point out at least one line of dialogue where he does something, and I'm like, oh, it's Jake Lloyd it's Anakin Skywalker.
I had no problem with his acting. I thought that was just the character traits. I didn't have a problem with that. But who would have originally been in that role? That's another story. And I'll tell you about that at the end of this episode.
Great.
Something to hang out for. So jump to the end, everybody. Basically, he's got not only the fob tracking down in this new person he needs help with, Fennec Shand, who's an assassin. He also has the puck. So we get to see an image, and it turns out that's Agent May from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent May? Oh, my God. It's all
it's
connected.
It's the voice of Mulan.
It's all connected.
She'll bring honor to us all.
In our podcasting world, she's now Disney heavy.
Yes. So Fennec Shand, she's an assassin who also worked for the Hutts. She is bad. She is tough. And right now he's using his tracking fob to track her where she's located. And he's looked in and he said in the geo position. So he knows where she's at because she's got a tracking fob. How does it track her? I know I bring this up every episode. Answer the question. How are they tracking? How is it being tracked?
I don't know.
Is it just Big Brother?
Is it proximity? I don't know.
In this world, if you have to find anybody, you can find anybody. It's like they're walking around with iPhones.
But it's like a proximity thing because later
she knocks it to the planet, and then once he's on the planet, he's like, hey,
we see the dead guy in the dewback, and it has a tracking fob on it. Is that her tracking fob? And a tracking fob's tracking a tracking fob? I don't know.
I
don't know.
This question has to get answered. I'm going to look
online.
Have
you looked up yet?
No, I haven't.
No one's ever said, how did the tracking fobs in Star Wars work?
No, I'm going to do that after this podcast. I will have that for the next podcast. Or my name's not Joel Bennett.
No.
He says, hey, go get, you want to help out? I'll help out because the kid wants to do it because he wants to join the guild. He doesn't care about money. Probably a rich kid wants just life of glory. So Mandalorian agrees. He says, go get two speeder bikes. Give me the fob. The fob gets destroyed. Now you got to take me with it because I got the information in his head. Smart move on the kid's part. Mm-hmm. Again, we're seeing that the Mandalorian has a sweetness to him. He's like, yeah, I'll do it with the kid. Or he's just playing with him. Yeah, I'm not sure. So we head back to his ship, the Razor Crest, sees that the baby is out, finds that the baby is there. Give me the baby. She says, hey, I got the baby. He thanks Pelly, and he says, thank you. Again, we get another moment where a bad guy would never thank, you know, so that's that point. And then they go out. We see the speeder bikes. And more importantly, Toro sees the baby.
Well, hold
on. That's important for later in the episode.
That, but it's not just speeder bikes. It's a Swoops. Now, Swoops, we didn't get the first. We first got to see Swoops in Star Wars. Well, the first time they talk about Swoops is actually on the.
During the Sweeps month.
No, yeah, nice. It was the novel that takes place in between Empire Strikes, Shadows of the Empire. They have Swoops in there. And they're a different type of speeder bike. They're a more aggressive, faster type of speeder bike. The engine's in a different spot. All sorts of stuff. I was reading up the nerdiness of the technical specs on these things. But we get to see
you
a
can
Swoop.
Ride them in
we
the get to see Nintendo 64.
That's
game.
Right. You can. Oh my god, I forgot about that. There, we see a Swoop though when they did the special editions when George Lucas showed more of Mos Eisley.
He goes to Tatooine. Yeah, that guy kind of swings in across
and
from
then
the,
he drops the Jawa.
Houdini! Yeah. That old goofiness.
Yep. So
that's
cool to see a Swoop. Like I was like, all right, Swoop. It's not just his normal speeder bike.
So the Swoop's sweeping.
There you go. He's so happy. The smile on Jerry's face right now is so big.
So they speed into the desert. We get some really cool music here. The special effects are fantastic. There's money on the screen. He's flying around.
When they're driving around, it's because like the way they're dropping and all that, it's reminding me of Darth Maul when he was on Tatooine. When he takes off on his little speeder bike.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, absolutely. You mean Tatooine? The center of the galaxy where everything happens? Even Darth. We see on the distance that there are some Banthas and some Tusken Raiders, which then they turn right there. They got the sound. You know, whatever you and
you just did the hand motion over
his
head.
Well, you got to do the hand motion. I'm holding my coffee stick or whatever it's called. And the Mandalorian is giving him sign language.
Yeah, so they use sign language. I thought that was really interesting.
Me grabbing many moon.
It's not American sign language because that'd be weird.
And they basically take the kids' binocs as payment to go across their land as opposed to just, I don't know, flying through their land.
We got to remember, so their guns actually shoot really far because we saw their guns guns in the pod races.
I know,
on episode
but like
one.
Once they get through there, it's not like how big is their land? Like, what if those two guys weren't there? Like, they keep going. What if there's not like those
Tusken
Raiders are gonna which means, hey, let these guys go through. Yeah. But it's that's fine. And then we come up to, so now we've seen the Bantha, and we're like, well, what other animals that live out on this planet? Well, how about Dewbacks? And sure enough, we find that there's a Dewback out there, which was awesome, and it's got a rider hooked in the foot being dragged.
So the Mandalorian, here's a bit of dialogue why this character bothers me. Mandalorian's like, he stops, he's like, get down! And then Toro's like, what? Oh.
He's got minutes to establish the character. He's got to establish that he's a kid who doesn't know.
Yeah.
Really.
What? Oh. It was like, oh, come on.
Well, because he's not. No, but see, we just had an episode where he was with an equal in the character of Cara Dune. And so there was never ever worry about
that.
This is a
novice, and I get that. There's other dialogue when he comes back, and after the Mandalorian's been shot a couple of times, he's like, what happened? What happened? What do you mean? What happened?
You're being a little nitpicky there, but that's fine. I, you know what? They only have so many minutes to establish it.
It's very Star Wars-y in a lot of ways. It's got the Luke Skywalker kind of like whininess. It's got the Anakin.
I'm going to tell you station to pick up some power converters.
It's got the Anakin. Whoopee! Like
that's the worst. Now this is pod racing. Now this is a gun in my mouth.
Yeah, but we get to see
go left.
I always love seeing the do back.
Yes, and the dead bounty hunter has a fob or some tracker on there, which then all of a sudden we realize that there's a gun on him, which turns out to be an MK-modified rifle that is being shot at. The Mandalorian gets shot twice. Bang, bang. We actually see some marks
carbon
on
scarring.
There. But the Beskar
protects
held up at a
distance. Yep.
Now, my question here is also, why did the Mandalorian not bring his rifle that he's brought to every adventure up to this point? You know, the rifle that is good for long-distance stuff? That rifle... They've realized there should be a line of dialogue saying, I'm out of cartridges for my long-distance rifle.
Sure.
That's why I'm not bringing my long-distance rifle with. In fact, in the stills at the end of the posters of the episode, which will come into play later, he has it with him in all of those images. But so he does not have that. He should have had the rifle with him. So
I want to point out, so we get to see the person shooting, right, is Fennec Shand, played by Ming-Na Wen. We talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Fennec Shand. There is another character in the Star Wars universe who has the same last name as Shand. It's Kokine Shan. He was in The Force Awakens. He's one of the guys that boards the Millennium Falcon. He doesn't actually have a name in the movie in the credits, but there is a Star Wars visual dictionary, Force Awakens, that actually names the character.
Isn't there a name that, like,
I don't know
when Han Solo is being hit by the groups that have trapped him?
That's what I'm talking about.
Thought he said Fennec Shan there.
But there's a character called Kokine Shan. Again, that character's not called out.
There's a club.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Baki Club.
Yeah, it's the actors from the Raid movies. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's a real deep cut for this character. So she's shooting. Shot him
there's
twice.
There's also a lot of characters in this universe that have the last name Skywalker. Just
apparently,
point that out.
Who knew?
there's something there. We hear the
all
phrase,
the Mandalorians' names are Mando.
Mando, Lando, Lando, Mando. Let's get these swoops and sweep out of here. She's got the higher ground. Another call out to Episode 3 that they can't go out. So I thought that was fine. Suns are going down. Mando is resting, and the Toro comes up there and starts getting cocky around him, and the Mando is like, are you done? He's like, oh, yeah. I like the kid. Goes, yeah, I'm done. Yeah, just getting ready. I thought that was fine. You know, he's playing the kid, and I like that. I had no problem with it. You're rolling your eyes on it. So their plan is to go fast in the dark and use flash charges to blind the assassin.
They could have waited until the assassin fell asleep at some point. They could take turns sleeping. We've been sitting here for 2 days. We'll be okay. It's true.
Well, she's still there either, too. We go to... Now, here's the thing about this is because the Mandalorian has super armor, they're now having to write him like Wolverine. If you read any of the comic books or even in the movies, it's like all of our heroes, or like a droid, all of our heroes don't get hit, but because Wolverine can heal, Wolverine gets hit all the time, to the point where you go like, yes, they have to write him cool, but also you realize Wolverine is not a skilled fighter. He's just a bull.
Sure.
He's a bull. He doesn't have any skill because he just takes the hit. Versus you want to see somebody who actually like a Jackie Chan who can, you know, ballet and move around with hits. Wolverine's like, hit, I will eventually kill you. I'm just a machine. And Mandalorian, I'm realizing, is like, well, he gets hit 3 times in this thing. He's going to keep taking hits that other characters are able to avoid through their skill.
Yeah,
but
you're
because
right.
The, you know, it's that whole thing where like we can't hit people. Oh, that's a you're part of a robot. Well, you're going to lose your robot arm because we can always grow that back. So I just thought that about that.
Yeah,
and
good point. That's
they
a
get
really
the
good point.
They get the drop on Fennec. There's a little bit of a fight. Mando shows up.
I have a problem with the fight.
Go ahead.
It's too damn dark, man. I know it's nighttime and they're trying to like show.
I liked
the,
it better the
like,
second time I watched
but
it.
But it's dark. It's really dark to see what's going on here. I'm like, what am I watching? Game of Thrones season 8? What's going on here? Why is it so damn dark? I always have a problem with that when, like, come on. Like, I know it's you're trying to represent nighttime, but let us see what's going on.
Well, if they have it too bright, you see the microphone boom in the shot. And then the Mandalorian shows up. He says, cuff yourself. And when Fennec is talking to him, she says, hey, have you ever been to Navarro? And he goes, Dave Navarro? And he goes, yeah,
nice.
Dave Navarro. No, and he goes, hey, that
always
was
fighting
hurts,
that flu.
Heard something bad happen there.
So we get the name of the planet. I don't know if we call that name out before. I thought
maybe,
I did.
But I'm not sure. Yeah. And there's somebody who's, there is a Navarro who is actually one of the people behind the show that is probably named after that. They realize now that one of the swoops is destroyed that they have to, somebody's going to have to walk back. And they said, or they can just drag her. And they realize that they need the dew back. The kid doesn't want
to
go walk for the dew back and leave the Mandalorian with all that stuff. I don't understand why they don't go like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the bike over to the dew back, and then I'll get the dew back on my, you know, and then once I'm there, I'll get there faster as opposed to walking to the dew back, and then I will just slowly go with the dew back and pull him like a horse. I'll still get back, and then everybody will there. But they didn't do that.
Well,
that's
they did fine. Get. He does have the land. We could just drag you. I was like that, but he's not a bad guy like that.
But right before he does go, he does have a great line. He goes, "She's no good to us dead," which is a great line from the Empire Strikes mm-hmm. Back, a Boba Fett line. We get to morning. The suns are coming up. Fennec says that she still has time to make her rendezvous in Mos Espa. Was she on their way there? We don't know. And she says, "If we get there, I can actually pay double what you were going to make on my bounty."
Classic move.
He's not. Hey, I'm not. I don't need the money. I just want to get in. I want to get into this. Yeah. She says, well, then, you know, you should basically, the value of the Mandalorian's armor alone is worth it. Well, the price is not there. And then she goes on to say, you bring him in because he took out a bunch of people in the guild. Your name will be legendary. That sparks his interest. She mentions the child. He remembers that she has a child, that he saw the child earlier. And at this point, looks like he's going to uncuff her. Did you feel like she was going to get blasted here?
I don't know what I felt, because it was like a really slow-moving scene. Like, she stands there, and then she slowly raises her hands up, and I'm like, okay. It was a little...
I was like, I thought that she was going to get him, because that's the more known actress and everything. Mm-hmm. But then she gets shot and really looks dead.
Yeah, she's dead.
She's dead, which is shocking, because you would think that an actress of her caliber... with the celebrityness that she has within the genre television, would have a bigger role other than what's his name did in the pilot episode where he was the
cabbie. Yeah, Greg Nolte.
Not Nick Nolte. You said Greg Nolte. No, the guy.
No,
who
I said Nick Nolte.
What?
Nick Nolte, right?
I thought you just said Greg.
The Ugnaught, Nick Nolte.
No, I was talking about the guy who Brian Posehn. Mm-hmm. Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
We're podcasting.
Oh, sorry about that.
You're now on the podcast. Say hi.
You mentioned Shadows of the Empire. I love that game.
Okay.
So, yeah. But Brian Percent, yeah.
Brian
Percent,
right. That was fine. But that again, was a cameo. I thought she was going to be a bigger role, especially since she's got a history and she's going to
outside
go
of Carl
somewhere.
Withers, I mean, and the Ugnaught, like, nobody's like. No other character, and the Baby Yoda, no other characters has like been in multiple episodes, though. So the IG-11.
Cara Dune will be, though. We know she will be.
She'll be, yeah. Like, yeah, so.
I know, but I'm just, her story coming to an end like that was a surprise. I'm okay with it. So he leaves. Later on, Mandalorian shows back up. She's still lying there. So clearly she's dead hibernating.
No, she
I don't know. So he heads back. It's now nighttime. By the time he gets back to Bay 35, the droids run around. They hide. Toro now has hostages. He's got the baby, and he's got Peli?
Peli?
Yeah, whatever. And
whatever.
Peli. He goes, cuff him. He's got the flash charge in his hands. He uses it to distract the kid, and then he kills him. We find out that the baby's safe. Where is it? Find the baby. Mando takes Toro's money and uses it to pay for everything, which is nice. He's, you know, mm-hmm. I guess he doesn't need the money other than just to cover his ship repair, so that's taken care of. She tells the pit droids to drag the body to Beggar's Canyon.
Beggar's Canyon.
Would be farther away from Mos Eisley.
I feel like it is far away, yeah. But we shoot Womp Rants.
Yes. The ship leaves.
I've flown through Beggar's Canyon in Rebel. Was it Rebel? What was the name? Rebel Assault. That was one of the hardest levels, man. Once you got past that level,
what's the needle
fine.
Called? The stone needle or whatever? You gotta thread the needle.
Oh, it was awful. Once you got past that part, the game was actually a lot of fun.
So then the ship takes off, and we think we're at the end. But nope, we go back. It's nighttime. We see the body, and we hear spurs. There's only one character who's ever heard spurs sound in the Star Wars saga when this character walks. And this person also has a cape, and this person has 2 feet.
I mean, this person died on Tatooine.
And so we come up across, and there's a puddle of blood underneath the dead body. So, again, that's dead. And the leg, it looks like it's Boba Fett.
They're hinting that it's Boba Fett. Do you think it's Boba Fett?
I hope so.
You do?
Oh, God, yes. The only reason we're watching this show is because we loved Boba Fett, and we want Boba Fett to at least come back to go out, not like a punk.
Yeah, but they've already...
Because you know George Lucas would bring him back. George Lucas would bring him back just to do it again. Go, I'm going to
come
again.
They've already brought back Darth Maul in Solo. So it's like, I know they brought him back in the Clone Wars, but like, if someone's dead, just... stay dead. I'm okay that he went. I'm okay that he went.
How many characters
like a punk,
besides Darth Maul have come back?
Well, because it's not many. Because a lot of them go back to the past, but
so
like,
none of them.
Jabba
let's bring one back. Other than Darth Maul, let's bring back Boba Fett.
Emperor might be coming back.
Yes, that one too.
Yoda might be coming back. This might be Yoda we're looking at.
I don't think it's Yoda.
They brought back Luke Skywalker.
Oh, that's just because they hadn't gotten rid of him.
I'm just saying,
oh, but it's Boba Fett. So we get, and then we end, and we're actually on a bunch of images, or like we always end with paintings. And this is where I noticed, hang on a second, what's going on with this painting? So the first painting we see, I'm going to show it to Joel right here, is this image right here. Take a look at Toro. What does Toro look like to you? I'll give you a close-up shot, Joel. Who does Toro look like to you?
Oh, he looks like Orlando Bloom.
That's right. That is a picture of Orlando Bloom on a swoop with what looks more like a Boba Fett than the Mandalorian.
Yeah. It looks more like a rebel trooper, a clone trooper.
Well, no, I mean, you see the color of the mask and everything like that. It doesn't have the
antenna. It looks like the clone trooper, kind of, the way the yellow is on the mask and all that.
No, that's how Boba Fett is. He had the red on his face like that.
Well, I know, but it all... Okay.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, so people, I'm like, I saw this. I'm like, I had not read anything. I finally go online, and I found two things on a Reddit that actually did the same thing. Like, hey, anybody notice this? And what I'm guessing, based on somebody else saying the same thing, is how much of this show, The Mandalorian, is based on the aborted Boba Fett script that was supposed to happen for the Boba Fett movie. Oh. There was supposed to be a Boba Fett movie that, because Josh Trank, who was the director of Fanforestick, the Fantastic Four bomb, because that bombed so terribly, he was fired before they even did it. They were just going to announce him at a celebration convention, and then they scrapped it. So this Boba Fett script is out there, or at least a concept or an outline. And the question is maybe a lot of that storyline, maybe that storyline would have had him with a baby Yoda. Maybe that was the story and it was Boba Fett. Who knows? Whatever that was. But this particular image here, I'm speculating, and somebody else said the same thing, like maybe this was originally a concept for that movie. Maybe Orlando Bloom was going to be playing this kind of a character going with him. He's a bigger name. So seeing that image, it's like, holy moly. Yeah. And I bring it up because you brought up earlier.
Well, it's so funny because not only that picture, there's another picture later on that shows Peli doesn't look like her at all.
No, she looks a little more squat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some of them are also different time periods.
I'm okay with that,
some of them look newer, even that
scene. But that's an interesting, that's a deep cut right there.
Well, that image is just like,
It looks just like, you just showed it to me. It looks just like Orlando.
Here,
everyone,
hold it next to the microphone. See, it doesn't look, I'm going to trace around. That's his beard. There, so.
Just picture Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. You look just like Johnny Depp. Okay, so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And now that brings us to the end of the episode. Does it change your opinion? Do you like it even more or less?
And so, that being said, I still really enjoy the episode. I just think it's, out of all the episodes so far, it's the one I like the least. Doesn't mean I don't like it. Well, interesting you say that, because last week you didn't like the episode so much because it didn't advance the storyline forward, the main storyline. And this episode, definitely does none of that. Outside of introduce this other character at the end, this episode does nothing for the main storyline.
Well, the main storyline was only really moving forward in episodes 1 and 3. The other ones are just setting up characters and showing our characters.
And obviously, I think episode 2 is just a continuation of episode 1.
Yeah, I feel so. And I feel 4 was just introducing a new character. And also, we want to have some standalone episodes.
I agree.
To show that he's involved.
I just want to point out that you said that last week. You're like, it didn't move it forward, so.
Yeah, again, I didn't say it was the best episode either. I don't know what one is the best. Maybe
that first episode was so good.
Yeah, that third episode when all the Mandalorians.
That first episode
end,
though. That first episode with the IG-11 and all that was
awesome. I agree that episode 3
I
so
want
IG-11
to come
one.
Back. I mean, because they keep showing it on it's on the main picture. It's on the picture, the thumbnail.
I agree. So obviously episode 3 is the one we enjoy the most. All right. That brings us to the end of another podcast. We will continue with the next Mandalorian, which will be chapter 6.
We only got a couple more.
When does Runaways start?
December 13th.
That's this Friday, man. Holy moly. We're going to get it out there. Well, we got to record a mini cast. Right. Now.
No, not right now.
No, we got to do it.
No.
We got to do it. People are dying to know. All right. We'll be back soon. Again, some of these the couple final episodes of The Mandalorian are going to be switching from Fridays to Wednesdays, the final two, into take place for where the Rise of Skywalker will be in the middle, so that'll adjust our schedule. We will try and stay as close to these as we can so that they're still relevant, so you're not listening about it. Wow, episode 2 was great. So, hope you're enjoying it. As always, please give us a like, a 5-star review, and let everybody know about us. Tell somebody you haven't told already and say, hey, listen to these guys. They're terrible. That would be great.
Well, don't do that.
Okay, one of them's terrible. One of them's okay.
Ooh, it's a mystery show.
Excellent. All right, I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.